Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, what a time to be alive. And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week to make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Eli Uden. There's no Kath. Kath isn't here. She's incapacitated. She was walking through an outdoor gym and she was struck by a medicine ball and laid out, and she's in a coma from the medicine ball. So
she was testing she was testing a rocket car in the Alkali Flats in the desert, and there was a horrible accident. She was trying to break the land speed record.
Yeah, she thought there was a tunnel. She was going at had just broken the land speed record and was attempting to go into a tunnel that unfortunately was simply painted onto a mountain. It was not a tunnel at all. She pancaked herself. She is alive though. Somehow she lived. It's a miracle. But
yeah, she's fine.
She's floating in a jar in the hospital.
She's fine. She's just in a bad mood. She didn't feel up to it after that. She's embarrassed.
Yeah, she said she had a rough week because she crashed her rocket car in the Alkali Flats, so she wasn't feeling up to it. But we do have a replacement who now it's more fun to keep this riff going because I think he doesn't want to talk until it's over. And so now just living in a prison.
Do you want me to talk? I actually heard Kath found a piece of blue gum on the sidewalk and then swelled to 10 times her size, and she's currently being juiced.
They have to juice her out at the hospital. This is this one hospital that has both tanks and a juicer. It's a special hospital for Kath. It's just for Kath.
It is,
and the trouble she gets herself into. They're used...
I mean, Barbadoro sounds close enough to Beauregard.
It's Violet like Barbadoro, thing, basically. That does sound. That's a Roald Dahl-ass name. That's for sure that.
And you'll forgive me. Yeah. It's Barbadoro.
Good, a classic soundboard. But speaking of Roald Dahl, have you guys seen the witches thing? The movie, the choosers.
I thought that was gonna be the intro of the guest.
We won't introduce him. We'll introduce him once he's earned it.
We have comedian, co-host of the Block Party podcast, and I guess semi-pro Tony Hawk player, John
Aspiring
Collins here.
Aspiring speedrunner.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on the show. Oh wow, and a full round of applause, and that's appreciated.
Yeah.
True. So true. This is a Dudes Rock. This is a Dudes Rock production.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Damn, dude. Where'd you find this other dude? That's us.
This is the worthy failed cast of Impractical Jokers. This is the...
My dream.
We're too mean.
The other
that's
guys.
That's not funny. Come on.
The other three dudes. Yeah.
My dream was to be Sal Vulcano.
You guys aren't hysterically laughing enough at everything. That's not people come to see you guys laugh for 45 minutes straight and not get mad at how good your life seems to be. That's a way. Is that just me dealing with that? Okay, never mind.
I've never seen an episode of Impractical Jokers. I think I'm almost afraid to watch it because, like, by nature, pranks, like, probably at least one of them is going to be kind of funny, and that's going to make me mad at myself that I'm, like, really, that I'm enjoying it. I don't know.
I've seen, like... At least like 4 or 5 seasons.
You said that as if you could accidentally watch 4 or 5 seasons. What you're trying to say is you watch Impractical Jokers.
Well, no. So the reason I said it like that is because I live in
Canada. That's
the
only show you have.
And so we don't always get... Yeah, exactly. And we finally got it. It's just we wait until the CBC gets a show in rotation and then we have to try and watch it all in a row. But yeah, we only... Like, I can only get... I mean, I could pay for the seasons, but in terms of like... On Netflix, I think we only have up to like season 4.
So you guys haven't found out who killed Sal yet. That was the big cliffhanger at the end of season 4.
No, we haven't. Sal hasn't even died. He's not even sick yet.
He gets sick from that prank.
It's crazy, yeah. Yeah. And then it's all over. So yeah, that's why I said it like that. But it's a good... it's a good show. It's like, it's just very easy to watch. And yeah, like you say, Eli, I think even if you... you know, don't necessarily love all the guys or whatever, you know, pranks are pretty funny. It's just guys being dudes committing pranks.
That makes it sound so serious.
It's pretty good.
Now I have
You've committed a grave prank.
I've not seen much of it. I've seen it mostly like in a bar on the TV with like the sound off. That's I think my most extended viewing of Impractical Jokers.
I
have no objection to it. It's just that I just haven't come across. I guess True TV is not on my surfing sort of rotation, but it seems like a lot of these jokes. Now, look, I don't know if this is tread ground or not. Are pretty practical. They're not that impractical. Like it seems like they're
Shelby,
not that elaborate.
Shelby, can we cut that out? Shelby, let's remove that. I don't want to get in any hot water. Yeah.
Patty, I think you need to stop going to Murph's bar. I mean, I think that's really you got to stop going to the bar that Murph owns. Then you won't have to worry about seeing Impractical Jokers.
God, I bet he does show. I don't know. I feel like I saw a bit of Impractical Jokers when I was like getting inoculated for something. Like that's what it was like just like on one of these like weird TVs in a doctor's office. I think, maybe when I was getting one of my COVID tests, there.
That's how they advertise it.
3 minutes of Impractical Jokers.
It's the anti-malaria.
Well, that's what they gave Sal, malaria.
A lot of people have been saying this.
He got bitten by a sick
mosquito.
Cool.
So I'm getting caught up.
And maybe I'm immune. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be.
I've heard that that Sal is like an extremely really nice dude. I feel like people who know him from, from comedy in New York.
He does shows around the city, and it seems like everyone. Yeah, he at least occasionally does shows around the city, and he's he seems like a good dude.
Yeah, I did a show with him once, and he's it's like storytelling, and I'm not saying that in like a diminutive way, but I don't know why we're just talking extensively about Impractical Jokers at the beginning of the podcast, but. Yeah,
this in and of itself is an impractical joke right here. This is it on the listener.
Yeah. So anyways, about the trailer for The Witches. Get back to that.
Yeah. What's up?
I'm just trying to remember like the book. Why does Anne Hathaway, who's the main witch or whatever, why does she have Joker scars?
That's new to
me. Why the fuck would you add that?
I don't know.
That's such a specific, weird reference.
It seems like a very easy tell for who's a witch. It's like, what's with all these women that have the Glasgow smiles? Like, because in the book, they have the square toes, and they're bald, and I think they have, like, weird fingernails. I can't remember all the details, but, like, and they have purple eyes, I think, right? But you can cover most of those, and it's not, like, obvious. But, if you have, like, shit on your face, like, I mean, like, hey, you got the weird face. You guys are all, part of the bad thing.
You don't have to be a witch at all. If I just saw my child talking to anyone with a fucking Chelsea grin, I'd be like, hey, come over here. Like, no. I don't know what that person's doing, but
maybe don't take any candy from this person.
Let's just. And like, also the whole thing is like, because they come in and it's a hotel or something, so they're supposed to be like, oh, they're fine. And I think that takes away from it, where it's like anybody that is led by someone with a prominent Chelsea grin, they'd be like, can I do like a background check on you or something? You have to at least tell me how you got that. Like, you don't have to do a full background check, but you need to tell me how you got a Chelsea grin. Like, are you a hooligan? Are you secretly a soccer hooligan?
Oh, is it just Anne Hathaway that has the scars, or is it everybody?
It seems to just be her.
Oh, okay. I take back what I said before. I apologize, everyone.
But I got to watch the movie just to find out if they explain it or not. She's the Joker's wife.
I gotta look this up.
It'll be out in Canada in like 4 or 5 years. You can check it out.
It's
right. Got it. Oh, Robert Zemeckis. Yeah, they brought him out of retirement.
This is being, put on streaming. I think. Not that anything's coming out in theaters. Okay, it's not around here, and basically not in the world, because if it can't come out here, they're not putting it out anywhere else. But
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I think reactions were mixed. I think is how most people.
Okay, I'm seeing it now. Yeah, The Witches I was a big Roald Dahl guy, but I don't know that I ever read The Witches. I'm like, maybe I did, but it's not one that like sticks out in my memory in the way that like the BFG or James and the Giant Peach or Charlie.
It's no BFG, that's for sure. But
what is exactly?
It's pretty good. I remember when I was a kid, it was actually kind of legit scary. There's like the parts where they give you all the lore, and it's like it's like in the voice of the grandma speaking, telling you like, like if you see XYZ, like run, and like the kid gets caught in a tree, by like a lady who's offering, there's little parts that are definitely creepy for sure. I mean, it could be fun to watch. I don't know. I mean, the original was a pretty good adaptation. I think most people tend to agree. Angelica Houston is pretty tough to beat as Grand High Witch.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, they've already made it. This isn't the first one?
In the 90s, yeah. 1990. And also, the guy from the hotel who's Stanley Tucci in the new one was Mr. Bean himself, Rowan Atkinson. So that's tough. Oh, wow.
I was going to be like, how do you beat Stanley Tucci? You bring out the Bean.
You bring out the Bean.
Call his hotline. Call the Bean line. Get him in the movie. Yeah, Angelica Houston, that's her whole career, it feels like, is like kind of vaguely threatening, creepy. Wasn't she Morticia Adams?
She was.
In something? Yeah. She's got that locked down. The like.
I think the thing with her, too, is she's like also like hot, like beautiful. So it's like, so she's like scary, but like it, when you're a kid, you're like also kind of horny. So it's like a weird combo of I'm scared, but I'm turned on.
She brings people into, some of the complicated emotions of adulthood. By being scary and horny,
yeah, precisely
in Roald Dahl movies.
Exactly.
It's your introduction.
Exactly. I would take it. I would say, the Addams Family. I was only like 8 when the Addams Family came out, so like it wasn't really applicable. But like the Addams, like Morticia and Gomez Addams, are like insanely horny in those movies. It's like over the top.
Yeah.
So it is kind of like, all right, like this is weird for looking back as like a kid's thing.
Who's Gomez again? It's Raul Julia, right?
Yeah, they just replaced, in the Addams Family, it feels like they just replaced having sex with dipping Morticia. Like, that's what it always leads up to. Like, her like, cum moment is when he dips her, and then they're like, oh, because they can't, get in there and show
up.
But
I mean, it's close enough to sex, right? Intimate. Dipping. I mean, you're if you're talking degrees, it's like, the degree angle. I mean, you're close enough to both.
Let's bring it back. Let's bring back the dip kiss and the triumphant moment. We haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah.
If we go back to the classics.
If you see another man dip in your wife, that's fighting. That's fighting axe. So it's pretty intimate, I would say, If she's just dancing, live your life and have a good time. But if he dips her, you got to get over there. You got to go over there and get into it.
That's a big problem. For sure. I could see that, definitely.
That's an issue. I hang out in a lot of honky-tonks, so this is a big issue for me and my non-existent wife is strangers dipping my wife.
Well, I've heard that those are that's the only thing that's open, right? Kid Rock's Honky Tonk.
People are going hog wild.
That's the only thing that's open in America.
Down at Tootsie's.
It's all good to go.
Yeah, those places are really fun, but that's not a place I want to go to get the disease.
Yeah, I was like, dude, Kid Rock's Honky Tonk probably fucking rules. Probably a great time. Like, that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how it would be bad.
People make fun of the Kid Rock cruise. I'm like, I would probably go on the Kid Rock cruise. That would be.
You're talking about the Chillin' the Most cruise?
The Chillin' the Most cruise.
Okay.
I think it sounds like a rollicking good time. I will not apologize for that. I also, if it's like.
Who else is on? Who does he bring other people on it with? Like, who else is on the Chillin' the Most cruise?
I don't think he even performs. Like, barely. I think you just hang out.
All right, like, let's look into this here.
I mean, Kid Rock probably DJs because he was a. That's the thing other people don't know about Kid Rock is he was like a serious DJ in Detroit. Like, he was like a turntablist. He was like, so.
Oh, I like this Calypso vibe. I know my ex's parents went on the, and Patty, sorry if this is triggering to you, but they went on the went on the train cruise. And it was like, it was really funny because, or at least to me, I feel like if you're a band and you're doing a cruise, it would make sense that you would, bring other, why wouldn't you bring Five for Fighting if you're Train, or Lighthouse or Lifehouse or bring another band with you. But nope, Train just performs three times.
Did they see Anthony DeVito on there? I think he did comedy on the Train cruise.
Yeah, Anthony DeVito did.
Really?
He's friends with Pat Monahan.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah. I remember them explaining, I think Train, they do like one, it's like one mid-afternoon set where it's like kind of just like chill and like low key. And then they I don't know if it's like all acoustic
curated
or something.
Sets,
I'm not sure.
Tiny desk
and then they
in
do
the afternoon.
Yes. Big time. Yeah, they do like a tiny desk in the afternoon, and then I think they do another set that's like a kind of like an MTV Storytellers style set, and then the last night they do their like big production with like pyro and all that. Oh, well, I don't know if they have pyro, their train, but you know what I mean. That's when they pull out all the stops is on the train. Last night.
I'm the guy.
Yeah, that's where a lot of the dipping happens.
I'm the guy who shows up to the train cruise and then gets angry and confused that it's a boat. I assume that it was some sort of true water train. They should do
just getting really mad that they don't have a coffee bar. It's like, how am I supposed to get the best soy latte that you ever had if I can't even get?
Yeah, how do you not do? They should do just to have done it. They should do like a train show, like they should do like a show on the fucking Orient Express or whatever. That's the only train I can think of. That and the Polar Express.
That's the only one.
There's three trains.
Well, they don't want to go on the Orient Express because people always get murdered on there. And subsequently, that is ironically what I heard.
She was murdered on the Orient Express.
Murder most foul.
Kath isn't camp.
Yeah. But don't worry, Hercule Poirot is on the case. We're going to find out who did it. Kath's dead, but we're going to find out who did it so she can be rest assured.
Of the podcast,
it may have been the wealthy dowager. It may have been the rakish con artist. We don't know yet. We'll find out.
Yeah,
it might have been the lead singer of Train. I mean, who knows? Yeah,
Train performing on a train. They can just busk in like the cafe car of an Acela. That's pretty much as you know. It's not really
technically true. Technically true.
You know, so I got the Kid Rock lineup from last year. And it's not a cruise, at least as of 2019, it was the Kid Rock's Chillin' the Most, Flying High Island Jam. So we're tacking
on.
He
just has an island.
Now. Hat on a hat. It was at the Hard Rock.
So it's like an all-inclusive thing? You go to
the Hard Rock in Punta Cana. Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, very important. So you can lose all your money while you're doing this.
I mean, to me, that sounds better. Sorry to interrupt, but that sounds better to me than a cruise.
Oh yeah,
personally,
I don't
like. I if you can go to a resort and enjoy, because then you can stay for like a week. I mean, you can obviously stay on a cruise for a week too, but you know, I feel like a resort is a more fun vibe.
I mean, I think if you're on a cruise, at least once during the cruise, you're thinking about if you're going to sink. Like, even if you're the most carefree person in the world, there's a moment where you're like, I sure hope this boat doesn't sink. I don't know if I'd go on a cruise. I don't know.
Well, especially now. I think I was already kind of iffy on them. I mean, they're kind of fun conceptually, the idea of like a little floating city, you know, because like that's with those big cruises, it's like it basically is being on a resort, only it's floating. But like, yeah, I think I'm good.
It's like, well, people are like, it's such a big boat. It doesn't even feel like you're on the water. It's like, well, then why are you on the water? Just go hang out in a hotel. Yeah,
why are you bringing this extra variable
fucking gym
of we might sink.
Play shuffleboard at the
get attacked by pirates.
It's like it's just like being at a hotel, except it's more cramped and you might throw up. And it's like, I don't can.
And if anyone on the boat gets sick, guess what? You're fucked. You're also sick. Everyone is sick. If one person gets Norwalk, hey, guess what? You're about to burn a day of your vacation.
I feel puking and shitting. Like they're probably like, oh, it's a beautiful view, but it's probably pretty boring because how many times are you gonna look at water? It's just, there's fucking mountains or anything. I'd rather go to a, you know what?
I think it's an age thing. I think it's like, you know, we're all in our 30s. I think like you just wake up one day and you go, oh, you know what would be fun actually? A cruise. And you don't know when it's going to happen, but it just, you're in your 50s. You wake up one day and you're like, I think
there's
the
fucking cruise, the cruise business, big cruise. They have inceptors. They have people who inception the idea of going on a cruise into elderly people's heads. They've shoved them backwards off a bridge into water, and then they just wake up and they're like, "I need to call Royal Caribbean and make a reservation to go." Float around.
And I like Tom Cruise, by the way.
Well, it is always too like. Mm,
yeah, good guy, nice. Tom Cruise.
I feel like when you go. One thing that when you I feel like whenever people go on cruises too, they'll always try to convince you that it was so good, and always the way they do that is just by talking about how much food there is. Like that's always the thing. It's never like, oh man, you're on a boat, so you get access to these like insane views that you would never get if you weren't on a boat or what. It's never that. It's like, oh, you can eat at any time you want. You could just eat 2 a.m. if you want a lobster burger, they'll make it for you.
Just about buffets.
It's crazy. And you're like,
maybe that's the cruise is just exactly. just to do enough to be in a weird enough of a situation that you're allowed to eat like an absolute animal. And it's like, yeah, it was a cruise.
Yeah. I honestly think that's the appeal for a lot
of
people.
If you were in a land hotel, you couldn't eat like that without feeling guilty. But for some reason, you're like, we're on the water. It's like an international waters thing. It was like, there's no schedule. There's no laws. I can eat constantly.
Totally.
Gain 45 pounds. Which you think? Do you think they plan for that on the cruise? I mean, I'm sure that there's, you know, they've got long, like a lot of breathing room. But they're like, well, everyone's going to gain about 25 pounds.
Oh God, everyone got floating. Too fat, and now we're sinking. Sink.
I like that Pat willfully remained silent because we wouldn't let him announce the Kid Rock chilling the most.
Well, oh yeah, line. Sorry.
And we went on a 4-minute adventure.
No, it's fine. There's not much to say, honestly. I don't recognize most of these acts. I will admit I'm not really in the target audience for most of this stuff. I think it's a lot of country-ish guys.
Right.
I can't tell. I guess it's an order of like most famous to least famous, but I haven't heard of the top three. I think I've heard of Jamie Johnson, but I'm not familiar. Cadillac 3. 1,000 Horses.
Cadillac
Jamie 3. Johnson, I think, was the lead singer of Hatebreed, I believe.
Is that
Johnson.
For real?
No, that's a joke.
I know Hatebreed.
The lead singer of Hatebreed is Jamie Johnson.
Yeah, I was like, this is either a very specific nu metal knowledge or a very specific nu metal joke. I was just gonna wait and see which one it was.
Both. It's a combo of both, and you will have. Yeah, I would get. I'll put it at 2 to 7 people.
I have a college roommate joke. Who was a big Earth Crisis guy. Are you familiar with Earth Crisis?
Okay.
Earth Crisis.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, they're like a hardcore
eco, like, you know, like they're very green. They're like save the planet kind of
eco terrorists.
This would be like the late 90s. Anyway, most of the other guys I don't know, but the big headliner for me is Lit.
Oh,
baby,
Lit kind of rules.
Lit. Fun fact about Lit that I just learned from my doing my new metal podcast. The lead singer of the band Orgy sold the name Lit to Lit.
Really?
That's pretty good.
He had like a trademark on it?
I don't know. We read this Rolling Stone profile of Orgy from like 1999, and they seem very insufferable. Yeah. And the lead singer in particular seems like a real businessman. His dad was in the industry.
Used as if businessman was a stand-in for the word asshole. You're like, he's a real businessman. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Well, yes. Well, yes, exactly.
In the music industry.
I think people get it.
People do get it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're the lead singer of a band named Orgy playing new metal music, like, theoretically, you should be just, like, a bum. But he was, like, you know. And so, yeah, they don't really offer many details. It's kind of like a throwaway sentence in the article, but it was just so insane of, like, so it's just a regular word that everyone knows. Like, it's not like it was some weird combination of words that you wouldn't normally put together that he put together, and then they were like, you know, like Lit is just a word that we use all the time. And but yeah, it was like they Lit bought the name Lit.
How do you even market, like, how
Jay
do you
Gordon.
Own
the, yeah
it must be that really, some trademark
it really makes it like it makes it much more calculated seeming that Orgy's like only hit was just a New Order like cover. It was like, oh yeah, here's a good song that someone else did that we're gonna do like a sort of metally industrial cover of. And it's like, yeah, okay, I just like the other one too. All right, well, yep, yeah.
Well, and they're a very cynical band. That was how they decided to sound like that. Was so they were already like kind of making new metal music, and then Jay Gordon heard Blue Monday for the first time, and he was like, "This is a kick-ass song.
We should make it
worse.
We
should cover it, and also our band should sound like this."
Yeah,
very cool.
And so, like, and then here we are.
For people like who are like, oh, you know, like not a lot of people, but like I guess like old conservatives like clutch their pearls are about like. That music is filthy, you know, like when like WAP came out or whatever. Again, I don't know if anyone calls it WAP, but in my head, that's what I've called it.
It's got us calling it WAP.
Yeah. It's like that. I'm glad that you can't just be a shitty new metal band with just like a vaguely offensive name and just sort of get airplay off of that. Like, the word orgy is so not even really offensive, but I'm sure that, like, they just naturally got, like, coverage for people to listen to. I will say I've never listened to Orgy. They might be great.
Well, they're not. But the funny part about them is that they insist that the name has no sexual connotation and that they named the band Orgy because their music is like an orgy of styles.
That is a sentence I would walk away from someone saying at a party. I would walk out.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. I'm telling you, these guys they seem like insufferable guys. And yeah, so that was like literally their... His explanation was, yeah, it's like we've got metal, we've got industrial, we've got electro, you know, but like it's an orgy of influences. And they try to act surprised in interview, like, oh, it's kind of crazy that like people are mad about the name. Like, it's not even sexual. It's like,
but
what the fuck?
Yes, it is. Because if they're saying it's like, oh, it's like an orgy of influences,
yes,
you're like,
of course.
Yeah, it's like all the influences are fucking and sucking each other in a room. That's still sexual.
Why is everyone so uptight?
Yeah, why are you guys so uptight about our name?
Okay.
Fucking dick suck.
I have a crazy 69. Fact about Jay Gordon from the Wikipedia here.
Are you just on Jay Gordon's Wikipedia?
Yeah, man. Jay Gordon, the lead singer of the band Orgy, who's their first release, Candy Ass, featured the cover of Blue Monday, which is probably the main song anyone's heard by Orgy. He did the voice of J. Jonah Jameson in the first two Spider-Man video games.
The like, which ones?
2002, the 2002 Spider-Man, the 2004 Spider-Man
PlayStation?
2. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I definitely have heard him then. I have never heard an Orgy song, but I've heard their front man, B.J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
He's got a very grovelly voice, and he said it's because he...
Grovelly or gravelly?
Like, his vocal cords got... like gravelly.
Gravelly. He's gravelly always begging you. He's like Gil from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I'm J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, exactly.
Step on my neck.
Yeah, exactly. It's a combo of both. And he said that it was because he had like surgery on his vocal cords when he was a teenager from screaming too much as like the lead singer of a band.
How much do you have to scream? And then I know about that surgery, but you get that as a teenager?
This guy's so full of shit. Yeah. Nah, he's full of shit. But he was saying that he used to have like a 3-octave range. He's like, oh yeah, I could
was
sing
basically
like
Mariah
Mercury
Carey before that.
He literally said that in an interview that he was like Freddie Mercury, that he had a range like Freddie Mercury, but then his vocal cords got fucked, and so now he has to sing like, how does it feel?
Yeah, yeah.
How
does it feel to get me pictures of Spider-Man?
Yeah, he comes back, their new single, Pictures of Spider-Man. Has anyone ever done that? It'd be like a fun meme of like a Nickelback photograph, like, but it's pictures of Spider-Man.
Probably.
Someone can spend a weekend putting that together for me for no reason, you know?
Yeah, put it together. Yeah,
yeah,
send it to
it my way. Bullshit. It's remarkable to be like, I had an unbelievable vocal range, 3 octaves. Yeah, that's why I only screamed and then did it so much that I had to get surgery.
Have any proof, but trust me, it was pretty sick.
Yeah. We didn't have recording. We didn't have any way of recording ourselves.
This is the late 80s, early 90s. There was no technology.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We didn't have it. It wasn't. Yeah. And it's funny because the article was from 99. And it's funny how, like, I feel like the idea of being an industry plant didn't really exist then. So, like, in the interviews, they're just like very bold faced. Like, part of the interview talks about how Jay Gordon's dad like was the manager for Sly and the Family Stone, and he was like involved in the music industry. And then like one of the other guys in Orgy is like, you know, it's been kind of crazy because Jay's just like, he's so connected. He just seems to know everybody, and we always go to these parties and he's talking to everybody. And you're like, okay, yeah, you're just saying that you're famous because your lead singer's dad was a famous guy. But that album sold 2 million copies, Candy Ass.
I mean, back in those days, you put anything out. If it was on TRL once, you'd sell at least 1 million. It's a different time.
True.
You just have to go.
Yeah. It was the first release on Korn's lead singer's album, or sorry, label. Jonathan Davis had his own label, and Orgy was the the flagship album.
Yeah, got to go buy the full Orgy album so I can listen to a bad version of Blue Monday.
I mean, that's what you had to do. I mean, you know, you had to buy the CD.
Yeah, that's it.
Wear out the one.
I was not a CD single guy. That felt like I didn't have the real thing if I got the CD single. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Not everything can be a poodle hat. Not everything can be a wire-to-wire banger.
Yeah, like, the like Night Santa went with crazy. Scissors.
Or,
I'm a fan. I like the Weird Al originals. I don't even like the parodies. I just like The Night Santa Went Crazy, just going off.
Lump is great. What Lump a great is a song. Very good song. But is that a cover?
I remember Larry. That's a great original. Lump is a cover. Gump, is a cover.
Some other band
Lump
wrote a song about
Presidents of the United States of America.
No, they wrote Lump.
Gump is a cover of Lump.
They wrote Lump, and then Gump was the cover of Lump. Gump sat alone
bench in the park.
On a bench in the
That's
park.
Better than the first song, I think.
My name is Forrest, he'd casually remark, waiting for the bus with his hands in his pockets. He used to say life is like a box of chocolates.
He's Gump. Gump.
Yeah, there are definitely a few. He's not there are a few bright. On that album, and Shelby's cracking the whip, and he's right. We should get to numbers in a second.
It was very funny to get a text from Shelby that just simply said, numbers, as you were singing most of the song Gump by Weird Al.
Just...
Sorry, you don't want me to sing Weird Al songs on this podcast?
Sorry, Shelby, answer your text. Released a covers album of Weird Al songs? Because that would be real funny.
John was in the bridge of Gump, so we had to let him go. but there are a few...
John died on the way back to his home
planet.
There are
a few on that album that, like, I would almost prefer to hear the Weird Al... Like, I think Amish Paradise, I'd rather hear, like, Out at a Bar than Gangsta's Paradise at this point. Because then you get the real, like, all right, who are the real dorks? Who know the Amish Paradise lyrics? Let's go.
Yeah. I know all the words. As I walk through the valley where I harvest
Take
my green. How long will I
realize she's
for?
Very plain?
Just that, yeah.
But that's just perfect for an Amish like me.
Fancy,
you know,
things like electricity.
Things like electricity.
Look, we can do this.
Look, everyone knows I.
We're doing it all day.
14. We don't need to go out of this deep into
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
We don't need audio proof.
Yeah.
All right, let's get going. Let's get the numbers here.
Let's do a podcast.
We're only 33 minutes in. Let's go. Let's time to...
It's fine. It's fine. Just do it. Just keep moving.
This one comes to us.
Shelby's the only one who's mad.
A very, very satisfying 10 minutes or so.
This one comes to us from JF in the Discord. It's a... sort of unsettling. It feels like it's on just sort of the path we're on with everything kind of being insane. In India, there was a village. I don't know. It might not be there anymore after this. there's just a video of a black goat just walking through this village on its hind legs, just very casually, just kind of strolling along. Don't like to see it. Does not look natural. Unclear whether it was asking anyone if they like to live deliciously. That would be...
it seems like the natural next step.
He was on his way to chill in the
He was going
to
chill. He was excited to see the Popoff brothers are back together, and Lit is back to doing what they do best.
Running into Satan on the Chill in the Most cruise. Just... The Prince of Darkness himself. Just the.
I think it would
man.
Be the. It if it was going to be Satan, it would be the Dave Grohl Satan from the best song in the world, greatest and best song in the world video. I think
the weird like all red devil that came from somewhere. The one that's like that became it just it was like at some point the devil just got really like suave. Like everyone was like he has a goatee. That's funny that at some point everybody was like, the devil has a little Van Dyke. That's his thing. And it's like, where did that come from? That all of a sudden it's like all representations of the devil must have a little Van Dyke mustache, and that's how you know he's evil. So,
yeah, it's probably something racist or something or whatever. I mean, it's hard to say for sure. But
it's racist against Dick Van Dyke.
Yes, it was that Dick Van Dyke was the first person to have that, and that famous thing that we all know Dick Van Dyke has.
Yeah.
I was Googling Dave Grohl Devil, and that came up, obviously, or Dave Grohl Satan. But there's also apparently something on Kimmel where Dave Grohl played Satan and God was played by Billy Crystal in a Kangol hat. So I don't know what's going on there.
That sounds unwatchable.
I want to see it. I got to look it up.
I'll drop a link in the chat here. But yeah.
Dave Grohl and Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal just doing the jazz man voice as God. That's what we all want to hear, I think. Absolutely, Lamar Guidry.
Is he in blackface as God?
This URL is bumming me out.
Over there.
The URL is not great.
Dave Grohl is the devil in Kimmel sketch with Billy Crystal. It's like,
How far has Billy Crystal fallen? You know, I mean, I know it's a music blog, so Dave Grohl is like the, you know, more of the draw, but...
No food, no water, Billy Crystal's, turlets. That's his... No turlets.
No turlets. Gold turlets. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's like, I guess a lot of people really like City Slickers, and they're like, I want to see him on the big stage doing an inexplicable, hyper-racist impression.
That was for charity, Eli. It was to help people.
Oh, I forgot. Yes.
Okay.
It truly helped people. I would say it healed New Orleans. That was the biggest thing that healed them.
That's right.
Billy Crystal doing the jazz, man.
So yeah, this goat. I don't think we have any more details on the goat. they have not evolved to walk on two legs. Okay. I guess he was reportedly coached by locals. So these people are really playing with fire here. Doesn't seem like a...
Coached by locals. Okay, come on. Blowing the whistle. Get out there. You know, yeah, exactly. I'm gonna bring you on, but if I'm bringing you on, you got to be on your back two legs, okay? And you know this is bullshit. If you four legs, we can't have that. You got to get up on there.
100% all four quarters. You on your hind legs.
When I hear coached by locals with an animal doing something unnatural, I have to say I hear a euphemism for got the shit beaten out of by. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay. Like, I don't think it was like a friendly thing. It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, but. I would say if...
Yeah, I stopped listening to Weird Al because I got coached by the locals.
Yeah, I would say that I would hazard a guess that if you were to coach a children's soccer team the way that they coached this goat, you would go to jail. Most likely, it's probably violence. Yeah, they're like, we coached this goat by sticking a hot coal up its ass, and now it walks on two legs. That whole thing. That was something I wish I'd never learned about, is the practice of gingering. That's just something I wish I could erase from my mind, but...
I don't know what that is. I'm fine not finding out.
Personally. Oh, well, now you have to find out.
Yeah.
So, it's banned in horse shows because people would rub ground ginger on their horse's asshole to make it, like, prance and look fancier. So, there's a rule. Like, if you go to a horse show and you rub ground ginger on your horse's asshole, there's a rule that specifically you'll get caught. They'll be like, that's specifically something you can't do.
Yeah.
They're getting searched on the way into the competition. Yeah. Wait, what's this tube in your pocket? Is this... This smells like ginger. Hey, you know the rules. That better be going in an ale and not anywhere near your horse's
digestion.
I'm watching you,
for palate cleansing, okay, pal?
You better be making like some Moscow mules or a Dark and Stormy with this stuff and not rubbing it on your horse's asshole to make it look fancy.
Is there a guy who just goes around lifting up horses' tails before everything starts and is like, no, I don't know, it smells...
He has to lean in and sniff the horse's asshole for ginger.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like,
I just smell. He had a carrot. It's just carrot. That's all it is. He's just been having a lot of carrots. I don't know. It smells like a different root to me.
A different
ginger. Tumor. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They're trying to smuggle in ginger by painting it orange and pretending it's just a fucked up carrot. Just a real fucked up carrot.
We grew it at home, honestly. We followed all the directions on the internet, and this is what it looks like. I don't know. I think we fucked up.
Yeah, just going into a long thing. They're like, well, you know, like the carrots you see at the grocery store, they actually throw, there's a lot of food waste because there's a lot of carrots that don't look good enough to what we think a carrot's supposed to look like. So they just throw it away. It's trying to smuggle ginger.
Do you like climate change? Do you like climate change? Is that what you're saying? You like wasting food?
I'm speaking.
You like wasting food.
So many of these carrots are thrown out just because they're not hot enough. You know, it's fucked up.
Yeah, these carrots are not sexy enough at all.
They're nothing like Angelica Houston as Morticia Adams. I hate it.
These carrots are just not horny enough. They're not horny enough for the grocery store.
Yeah. So, this goat, it can walk for 33 feet, 10 meters. You know, congratulations to the goat. You know, it doesn't. It looks
congratulations
like
it can, to Lucifer, the Prince of Darkness.
Yeah, that's right. It can walk. At the end of the clip, it does go down onto all fours, so it's not like they, you know, like damaged its front legs, so it couldn't walk. You know what I mean? Like that's the kind of thing you worry about. It's like, well, now it has.
That's
to.
The way they coached it.
Coached it, but to walk on two legs by removing the other two legs
by breaking its front legs. So it appears to be okay, which is good. Cool trick.
It's good. I mean, I think it's cool, and I think it's far, and I think we can say when it comes to walking on its hind legs, this guy is clearly the goat.
Oh man,
wow, that's Shelby? Professional. Thank that's you, just everyone. To put a button on it. Let's go. That next
is,
number.
That's what it is. What can I say? Yeah. I'm a pro. Perfect timing, Shelby.
Oh, well done,
Blammo.
Have you guys seen this goat?
That's my Seinfeld impression. It's very
pretty good.
All right. Number four. This is a story from the San Diego Union Tribune. I've maybe never wished more that the listeners could see the pictures from a story. I highly recommend that you look this story up. Because it's a story about a man who attempted to break the world record for eating the most Carolina Reaper hot pepper chilies, which are the hottest chilies around.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, and the pictures of him are so good. There's like every picture you'd want if you were fucking J. Jonah Jameson and you were like, you're covering the story about the guy eating a million hot peppers. Every like this should get like a Pulitzer. Like it's like, you know, to me this is like catching like the perfect moment in a football game. They have every moment that you'd want. They've got him sweating with his sunglasses pulled down. They've got him like doing like basically a chef kiss with a pepper. I'm not going to just describe the pictures in this article for too long, but I would highly recommend that you guys check it out.
This is a man in distress. That's what we're looking at here.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. And yeah, it doesn't...
it's so good.
This poor bastard. That's really all I have to say about this. I mean...
Oh, you guys see the second one where he's like kissing it almost? He's making his face.
It's like he's doing like the... first of all, he's got like polo sunglasses on, which is very funny to me for some reason. But
they're absolutely some TJ Maxx ass sunglasses.
But he's doing like it's like the Patrick Bateman ooh like face like to a pepper.
it's like cartoonish.
Yeah, having the gloves on really cinches the Patrick Bateman thing.
he looks like a Jack Nicholson impersonator.
He looks like Drill. That's actually what it is.
Is this Drill? Yeah, I was just about to say that. Drill revealed. We just doxed Drill on this podcast.
Guy who ate too many of these peppers. too many, but also not like, enough. That's
one of the sentences in the article. Like, with 1.5 million followers on Twitter, Drill has tried to keep his identity secret for 7 years, but the lure of the Carolina Reaper was too strong for him to turn down.
First of all, well done to Lauren Mapp, who's the author of the article, for this first paragraph that I enjoy. San Diego is experiencing a heat wave this week, and so are the taste buds of Greg Foster, who ate dozens of the world's hottest chilies in Seaport Village. So this is, I guess...
That's like my goat joke, but just in a newspaper article.
I mean, it's a big part of a newspaper. I guess they're his chilies. He also owns a hot sauce company. But I don't think this is... What I like about this is it doesn't seem like it was a publicity stunt. Like, maybe a bit, but, like, you know, I don't think he, like, was, like... I think he really just was, like, trying to do this. This guy... There's also a fun detail in this story that he says that he started competitive chili eating when his friend... Carolina Reaper inventor Ed Curry peer pressured him into it. So this guy doesn't even really want to do this. I guess he just literally, like, his friend was like, hey man, what if you tried to eat more Carolina Reapers than anybody ever did? And he was like, I mean, all right.
Hey, come on, man.
I'm reading the article, and he grows them, right? So I wonder if, like, that's what it said. Like, he grew the peppers himself. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if his friend was like, well, you know what a true farmer would do with these. Try and eat 123 of them in a minute. That's what a real, I mean, you know, that's what going back in history. Look at 1950s when we first started growing these things. That's what every farmer had to do. You just had to eat as many of them as you could in a minute. Yeah. So are you going to do that or what?
I also, yeah, I like this quote from, this is one of the judges, and he says, "It attacks your mouth in the same way pepper spray does your eyes and your face," which is unintentionally very funny because it's like, yeah, pepper, like that's pepper spray. It's like, it's all peppers. Pepper spray would also attack your mouth if you got it in your mouth. Similar way. Yeah, so he tried to eat. This is also pretty funny. So he tried to break the record. I don't think it was a time limit. I think it's just until you can't do it anymore. And the record.
Oh, I thought it was in a minute. Yeah, it is one. It says the holder for greatest number of Carolina Reapers in 1 minute.
Really?
That's in the lead. So like right at the top of the article, the Guinness World Record holder for the greatest number of Carolina Reapers in 1 minute attempted to eat 123 chilies.
Oh, I think he does. I'm looking at the San Diego Union Tribune, which is San Diego.
So am I.
San Diego. San Diego pepper enthusiast eats 44 Carolina Reapers, the world's hottest chilies.
I think he has the record for the most in a minute, but he was trying to eat the most in a sitting.
You're talking about the subheading. He does have the record for the most eaten in a minute. It's referenced later. We look down, he does hold that record having eaten, I believe.
Oh, I see. I got it. Okay, so the article's written very weird.
Carolina Reaper. I get it. I would like an apology.
I get it.
I would.
And it's not coming.
From a Canadian. It's like denying me air. This is unbelievable.
Well, listen, if you and I bumped into each other on the sidewalk, I would say sorry. But right now, I can't say.
I'm going to hide
you. You have to agree with me, though. It is written quite poorly, that subheading.
It's like, maybe it was read quite poorly. How about that?
Well, all right. I guess thanks for having me on, guys. This has been really fun. My album comes out October 16th. You can follow my podcast at Block Party Pod. You can follow me at Cullen the Comic. See you guys never. Fuck bye. You both.
Let's have him on and say he can't read.
Bye.
Yeah. Your album, which is covers of lit songs.
It's actually covers of Weird Al songs. A lot of people don't know that, but I'm a huge Weird Al original fan. Yeah. You're gonna get all the hits on here. I Remember Larry, mm-hmm. Since You've Been Gone, The Night Santa Claus Went Crazy. We're releasing that as a Christmas single.
Shelby's gonna text us again. Please, no more Weird Al.
I think about Since You've Been Gone. That line, "I've been in a buttload of pain since you've been gone," just pops into my head out of nowhere sometimes. I couldn't even remember the rest of that song, but that is weirdly memorable to
me. It's an amazing punchline, right? Because it's like, the song's like 2 minutes long, and it's all about since you've been gone, and it's like a barbershop song, and it's all about all the bad things since you've been gone. And then the very last line is, "I feel almost as bad as I did when you were still here."
It's the payoff.
Weird Al.
It's
check
a huge
him out.
Payoff. It's beautiful. Weird check Al. If you've never heard of him, it's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. It's right in the name, Weird Al.
Yeah. Some crazy. I'm releasing a covers album called Weirder Al, and it's exactly the same, but I hit a vibra slap at the end.
Not
of
possible.
Song.
Not possible.
You've never heard a vibra slap. It's pretty weird.
You can't be weirder.
So in Chile news, yeah. So this is what's funny to me too, is that the record, like it says, 123 Carolina Reapers. He got through 44 of them, which is a lot, but it's not even close to the record.
He's brought down to his knees in a fit of expletives and tears.
Yeah.
I love that. A fit of expletives and tears.
Which, again, if you've seen this guy, you can imagine that very clearly, and it's fantastic. Just like, oh, fucking peppers. Like... And then he went into a pop-up tent and threw up. So, well done. Greg Foster, I consider you a hero.
The caption is so good because it's like, I didn't realize the picture with the header picture. He's like gripping the container of peppers and he's like leaning on the table. Apparently it's because he was standing up. He dropped to his knees at this point. Like he lost his footing and is down on the table like, ugh.
This is great a guy stuff. Like he could have been like the most popular actor in like Shakespearean times at the fucking Globe. Just like the body language and expressions that this guy has, it's with terrific. His like TJ Maxx sunglasses. Oh man,
there are some incredible. I'm fully reading the article now, and there are some just incredible. There's so many good quotes in here. I think this one is my favorite. They're talking about him training his stomach to get ready for this. And he said, if you were to do it on an empty stomach, you would immediately start to cramp, which is probably the closest thing a man could come to childbirth, he said.
Yeah, just bad cramps.
Like the cramps of a Carolina Reaper would be so bad. Like that's such a I mean, it makes sense. This is the Dudes Rock episode of What a Time to Be Alive. But that's such a Dudes Rock thing to say as well. Like,
yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind eating one of these is like birthing a child. No question about it. I will not be taking any questions 100%.
This is what it feels like.
Yeah.
As I was eating it, I said to myself, this is definitely what giving birth to a child feels like.
100%. And I said that to my wife, and she agreed with me. Yeah. She was like, you know what? It probably is the same.
A spicy pep is very similar to your body dividing and releasing something into the world. It's probably the same as a little hot guy. I would get this guy on fucking 60 Minutes. I want a full thing. It's like, just like, you know, kind of did all the stuff you'd expect him to talk about. It's like, it takes 2-3 minutes sometimes, really hit you. It's like, yeah, I guess.
And then he just has like a Chris Farley-esque set of reactions. Just like, terrific.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Sweating, coughing, swearing, dropping to his knees. I mean, you can't beat it.
Yeah. Here they talk to his wife. A love for spicy foods is one hobby the couple doesn't share. Yeah. And she says, I'm a total wimp.
That's how I describe my love of different types of foods as a hobby. That's how he loves spicy foods, but it's not a hobby we share.
Yeah. I mean, if he's a competing,
I mean, I know he
events,
grows peppers and stuff, but
his free time.
True. It reminds me of the time that I matched this girl on Bumble. And I asked her what kind of like her goals were or whatever. And this is like way in the conversation. It wasn't like I just led with that. Hey, what are your goals?
Where is this going?
Where are you going personally?
What's your 5-year plan?
Tell me all about this. And she was like, well, I think this year I want to watch more movies.
Aye.
And I was like, okay, well.
Was she super hot? Because it sounds like she. Just like, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I never met her in person, but her photos seem pretty good.
Yeah, that's a big one where it's like, you know, it was like, what are your interests? A big one is like music. They're like, I like to listen to music. And it's like, man. Yeah, like that's just like being alive. Like your interests are like experiencing the world. Yeah, it's, and like it's even worse when it's not even like, it's like, okay, if you're really, you know, like really into the music scene, you're looking up a lot of, you're really pursue like looking up like underground bands, going to a lot of live shows. That's one thing. But no, there's people that are like, I have 3 CDs I like, and that's my hobby. And it's like,
yeah.
Oh my God, you must be blazing hot. You must be so hot to say that.
You
to
could
people.
Say Carrie Underwood is like kind of my hobby because I love her.
Yeah. Also, another one that's very popular is that if someone's hobby is tacos, it's like like finding them, eating them, making them. It's, well, that's a good sound.
Wow, that was very good, Shelby.
Thinking outside the box.
Very good.
Shelby, did you download the BBC motherload of sound effects that were released? Take that as a yes.
Hard to tell. Okay, it sounds like yes. What sound
that sounded like
is
the
that was a that's, Rosemary's Baby.
I liked it. Shelby answered with a car horn, like we were on The Price Is Right, playing that one car game where it's like, do I have 2 numbers right?
That's the Strange Wilderness shark.
Yeah. So these peppers, I have to say. They look like if they were that color red is like, looks like delicious candy to me. Obviously, eating one would be a nightmare. But they look like they're delicious.
I've had Carolina Reaper sauce before. I've had a sauce.
Well, we are. I believe if we hit 1,200 patrons, we're going to be doing the Death Nut, which I think is Carolina Reaper dusted peanuts.
I think various, the last one probably is. Yeah.
Yeah. At various Scoville ratings.
You can watch us eat a very spicy crow pie.
Yeah.
Subscribing to our Patreon.
But John, you'd be familiar with that. The Patreon goal is involving humiliation of the hosts. That seems like something that's...
Yeah, we're just about to drink Canada juice.
What's Canada juice?
I don't know if you guys profiled this on the show maybe, but there was like a news story around the NFL draft about this linebacker who drank this like protein smoothie to gain weight, but it was like the most chaotic smoothie ever. It was like
it's like when Jared Leto ate like buckets of olive oil and ice cream to get fat for something.
It was like raw eggs,
maple syrup has got to be what makes up Canada juice. I'm guessing.
So it was 7 scrambled eggs, a tub of cottage cheese, grits, peanut butter, a banana, and blue Gatorade.
Which
and
blue?
He just like drank
cool
that
blue Glacier Freeze.
It doesn't specify.
Glacier Freeze would be good in a smoothie, I think.
Yeah, so we were talking about it on an episode of the show, and we were like, what would that look like for a Canadian athlete? And so Stefan and I are drinking Canada juice, which is a box of Timbits, cheese curds, fun-size coffee crisps.
Fun-size coffee crisp?
It's a delicious
candy. Coffee
crisp
is a... Yeah, Coffee Crisp is a chocolate bar, and then a fun size is like what we call the
fun size
is like what you get for Halloween.
I don't know what coffee.
Okay, well, I don't know. I'm just Coffee Crisp is a coffee flavored chocolate bar.
Yeah, I just realized we're almost inadvertently relitigating this as a chocolate bar candy or not. I don't want to.
Sorry. Yeah, no, we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. But yeah, and then cheese curds, maple syrup.
Say hello to my chocolate blend.
What opinion can one even have about whether a chocolate bar is a candy?
That was something that we backed into when I did Block Party way back when. I said top three candies, and Stefan was carving out that a chocolate bar is different than candy. And then I didn't really push back on it.
Oh, it was from our previous podcast, Real Good Show, and then also Blocked Party. It got litigated an awful lot, and it was like...
Why?
Because someone was saying that Reese peanut butter cups were candy, and we were saying, no, it's a... It started because...
I'd want to be paid for my time if Reese's, I was involved in that. I'd want like legal fees reimbursed for being involved in that.
I mean, we do pay you for your time when you come on the show. But it started because the debate was, is Reese's peanut butter cups a chocolate bar?
No.
Or candy bar?
It's in the name.
No, it's a chocolate bar.
You gotta go to jail. This is fucked up.
So there was a big, big argument about that, and then it was
you guys recording
like,
a padded
chocolate
room because you're insane.
Is chocolate? Is chocolate candy? And then that's where Patty was involved in the is chocolate.
What,
candy
is a Whopper
debate.
A little round candy bar? What are gumballs? Are they little round gum bars?
Gumballs are candy. Gumball. Well, there's no chocolate, so you wouldn't
all right,
call.
But
a
Whopper.
A
let's say a
candy.
Whopper.
I mean, that's just
the malted milk ball.
Yeah, Whoppers are a chocolate bar for
are
sure.
Are you? What is happening? I need electrodes on your head and see what synapses are firing.
No, Whoppers are probably not a chocolate bar, but Reese's peanut butter cups is definitely
okay.
A
Reese's
bar.
Peanut butter cups is a chocolate bar. What about mini Reese's cups? Are they tiny chocolate bars?
Yeah, that's a chocolate bar as well. Well, if it stands to reason, if a big cup is a chocolate bar, then a mini cup.
Well, that's
is also
yeah, because you're. But it doesn't stand to reason. Okay. You can't be like, yeah, but my twisted logic extends to all permutations of this. It's like
it's not twisted logic, though. It comes in the shape of a bar, even though there's cups inside the package. The package itself says chocolate bar on it. So you
can see, Eli, how this is a whole thing. So
yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We don't have to relitigate it on the show. Yeah. But
I think it's
you can
I think
see
it's
how
beautiful
we
that
argued
you two
about
found
it.
Each other that have the same brain disease.
Well, it's like Stefan has a much different brain disease than me, but we both have a brain.
It's
disease
it's like
for
a
sure.
Weird version of like facial blindness where you think everything is a chocolate bar. You have like Capgras syndrome. For everything's a chocolate bar.
Starburst chocolate bar. I just, anything in a bar shape.
Yeah.
If I were a psychiatrist, the next thing I'd do is like give you a notepad and be like, draw a bar. Like let's see. It'd be like Hannibal. You'd draw like a clock with the numbers all over the page. It's like, oh. I forget what we were even discussing.
We were talking about the Peppers guy, and we're going to say good luck to him and move on, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Godspeed to him and his tiny sunglasses.
His pepper bars.
Yeah. Number three.
All right, number three. If we can get the video up on this, I think it's probably worth playing. That's the TMZ link, Shelby. Yeah.
Also, the Pepper story, thank you to the average ghost bee for that.
Now, do you think that's their name because they're like a big ghost pepper fan?
I think it's like I think they were the average Gatsby, and then they made it spooky Halloween times.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay. I like that idea of someone who's like a huge ghost pepper fan, knows nothing about your podcast, but just like searches like news related podcasts and is like, I don't know if you guys are covering this huge ghost pepper news,
pepper
but
beat.
You probably should.
Yeah. It was me. Just him. It was
chief
it was
reporter
Greg.
Of the Pepper Beat.
I guess on CNN, there was a White House reporter, Joe Johns. He was, I guess, reporting on the White House lawn in the evening, it looks like here. He had a raccoon approach him on the lawn, and he basically went nuts yelling at it. And to get it out of there, and also threw something at it to try to just spook it off. And he didn't curse, I guess, but he does scream, "Get ah!" Can we get the video up, Shelby? Is that possible?
Now, no events on the president's schedule today, and important to say, the White House. Frickin' raccoons, man. God, again, this is the second time.
No, he said this. He said that was the second time.
Yeah.
But I think the first time he's mistaken, the first time it was actually White House social media director Dan Scavino that was... That's right. this one comes to us, by the way, from Joshua Lawrence. Joshua Lawrence, like a Halloween. He's screaming.
Oh, oh yes. Trouble.
Why not?
That's politics to me now, is just scaring a raccoon away when you're on the White House lawn.
It's really like... Because it reminds me, obviously, of like the famous news clip of the fly, where the guy's like freaking out about the fly that's like going in his mouth and stuff. But it's weird to me because the raccoon is like, this guy must have some... Is it Howard Dean? Oh, wow. Yeah.
Remember when that was enough to get you basically drummed out of a presidential campaign? Doing a weird yell?
That guy yelled weird. Get him out of here. Like, he must have a real thing with raccoons. Because, like, raccoons are around, but it's like, if you watch the video, it's not even, I couldn't even see it. I'm like, this guy just has this sixth sense to be like, there's a raccoon near me, and I'm going to freak out until it's gone. But, like, I guess, yeah, it's the same raccoon that'd been, I don't know, I'm surprised, I figure that Secret Service just, like, shoot raccoons that are on the White House lawn. I feel like that's part of their duties.
Target practice. Yeah.
Just nail them with a varmint rifle.
I mean, are raccoons around? I feel like the whole thing with raccoons is they don't, like, get near people unless something weird is going on. So yeah, I can understand why he, like, would want to not be, you know, if it's, like, trundling up to him. It's like, all right, man, you're supposed to be scared of me. Get out of here.
Oh, you think it's, like, rabbit or something?
I don't know. I don't blame him for that.
I didn't even see it being that close to him. I don't know, maybe. I'd love to see a little raccoon. I like to see them trundle. I enjoy it when they do that and they pop around. But, yeah, I mean, the other thing is, like, I mean, the presence of the raccoon there, the raccoon doesn't know what the fucking White House is, so they just go to where the food is, so it's like, is the White House not taking out the trash? Like, that is that the breakdown of, like, our systems has gone so far as to there's, like, a lot of stinky trash outside of the White House that's not being properly disposed of? It's just a raccoon, like, you know, gold mine?
Some would say there's a lot of stinky trash
inside.
In the White House.
Yeah.
Because I feel great. I feel like
we got him. I like how John is like getting further away. Like, yeah, he's like as this goes on.
Oh, I just sometimes I like to, you know,
lean back.
Take the mic out of the stand and lean back and do the rock away.
You guys just get that song up there?
Yeah, it's number one right now. It's pretty crazy. You guys heard of this guy?
Canada's Terror Squad?
Actually,
Canada's,
you know,
going
I'm
nuts
really,
for Fat Joe.
It's true. You know who I'm really liking right now? Ashanti. Loving her. She sounds great. Yeah. So good.
Really, yeah. Really enjoying Selena up there in Canada. Hope nothing happens to her.
Oh yeah, I saw there was a movie about her. I'm looking forward to it. I assume it's a documentary.
Yeah, about her continuing success in the music industry.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm assuming. Yeah.
Irv Gotti can't go anywhere in Canada without being mobbed.
Yeah. People flock to the airport as Chameleonaire lands in Canada. King of the charts in Canada.
It was really big in Winnipeg, riding dirty. A lot of people are saying it.
Everyone's saying it. It's a big thing out there. Yeah, it'd be so funny if you got, like, the Fat Joe song, Lean Back, was huge, and it's been so long that Fat Joe isn't even fat anymore. He's, like, skinny now. It's like, everyone's like, why do they call him Fat Joe?
Yeah, we're so disappointed. He gets off the plane, and we're like, wait a minute. What?
That can't be Fat Joe. Surely. Surely there must be another Joe on board who's fatter than him.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess he's kind of fat.
No, he's pretty fat. You just gotta look. Like, if you look, right. He's kind of fat. Like,
yeah, man.
Yeah, just a hugely successful rapper with, like, body dysmorphia. And everyone's like, he's not fat. Like, he thinks he's fat.
Yeah.
He's working on it. So his psychiatrist is like, why don't you call yourself Average Joe? That's pretty catchy. He's like, I don't know.
No, have you seen the way I look in this mirror? I look terrible.
Yeah, they're like, well, maybe, I don't want to overstep here, maybe it's that you wear gigantic South Pole shirts. Is that maybe making you seem bigger than you are? It seems like there's some wardrobe choices.
Have you tried a medium shirt? I feel like it would fit you. No, it wouldn't. I'm a double XL.
That's the trend of baggy pants from, like, the 90s was just somehow all traced back to, like, a body, like a rapper with body dysmorphia that's like, I'm a triple XL, and people are like, yeah, you are not. That's a big old shirt. That's way too big.
Did you guys ever see the speaking of Average Joe, did you ever you remember the reality show Average Joe, where it was just like they had like a babe and then it was a bunch of just like guys, or, you know what I mean? It was like The Bachelor,
just a
but
bunch
what
of guys being dudes,
just like they were just like,
yeah, just dudes being guys.
Why would she sign up for that?
I don't, it's not clear, because like, I don't think it's not like Joe Millionaire where like he's like, you know, supposed to be, you know, like, I don't think there's any secret twist or anything about anybody being rich or anything. It's just like, let's see if this beauty queen, okay, so I guess. Okay, so the gag is, I had forgotten about this. Prior to the show's start, the beauty queen was not aware she was supposed to be dating average men. She was instead led to believe her show was going to feature only handsome suitors.
Welcome to the house.
The iterations of reality shows like that, when like it was just like mean like to the contestants, yeah, like that was good stuff to me.
That is really good.
Yeah, like she's gonna be annoyed, and then they get to spin it as like, wow, she's just annoyed to see regular people.
You,
it's like,
signed
no,
the contract, honey. It's like, oh, this sucks. Yeah. I don't want to do this.
And you can't say that on the, you can't, that's, oh, that was what should happen is that the first confessional on that show should be her being like, I was told this would be a house full of extremely handsome men.
Okay, here we go.
It's not.
the first season, the show was marketed to have an implied moral subtext, namely that beauty was only skin deep and personality could triumph over looks. Now, apparently halfway through the season, they brought in handsome guys to compete against the not handsome guys. Like, and guess who in the first season... Guess which kind of guy the lady picked? Was it a handsome guy or a not handsome guy? It was a handsome guy.
It was Jason Momoa.
Oh my God.
They proved the opposite of the message. Extremely funny.
That is so funny. I especially like, because if you were one of the average guys that was on this show, it's already like, it's already insulting.
Yeah.
That you're like, that you're being painted as like, oh yeah, you're just this kind of like shitty looking guy.
It's almost meaner than if you...
But then you start to get in your mind, you're like, but you know what? I might be the best looking of these shitty looking dudes. Kristen's for sure gonna pick me. And then episode 7, it's like Jack comes in and you're like, fuck, yeah, come on.
Right.
This Van is my one up. Shot.
A bunch of like long haired fucking Fabios walking.
It's like I think we're finally have a connection. This is great. I wonder if, and then like a guy pulls up in a Corvette and just opens the door and she gets in. It's like, all right, well,
all 12 of them pull up in individual Corvettes. Get out in perfect sync. What's up, babe? They're already calling her babe.
Yeah, exactly.
That's I also feel like the average thing kind of like,
that's really good stuff.
It would really hurt your feelings because, like, if you're on one of these ones, because there was one that was just straight up mean. That was called like what, like Beauty and the Beast or something, or Beauty and the Geek, something like that.
Beauty and the Geek, yeah.
Like, you probably know you're a geek or whatever like that, but I feel like there's probably at least one or two of the guys who thought that they were like above average looking and thought they were pretty handsome.
Definitely.
And they're like, hey, we want you to be on this show that's about the most average looking people we could find. Just like,
yeah. Mm. Oh yeah, you would. Yeah, there's got to be. It kind of reminds me of the like Extreme Makeover where if they like didn't fix it, they just wouldn't air your episode.
Yeah. Well,
there's like
the
a bunch
of
Extreme
average
Makeover episodes where they're like, yeah, we you know, your face is pretty fucked up and we couldn't fix it. So sorry. Bye.
This is okay. I, not knowing anything about this show, there's also, this is really funny because there are 4 seasons of it. And there's Average Joe, 2nd season, Average Joe Hawaii. And then the 3rd season, to me, inexplicably, is titled Average Joe, Adam Returns. Who's Adam?
Well, Adam was the last Average Joe in the 1st season that she picked the handsome guy over. So this is his attempt at revenge.
Yeah. Well, then the next season is called Average Joe, The Joes Strike Back. So it got pretty.
Right. When you said that the titles of the show were changing, I was like, one of these is going to be like Joe's Revenge or something like that.
Okay.
The last one is just a Dateline episode, actually.
One is where 12 average guys kidnap an attractive woman.
Yeah, it's the 4 seasons, and then it was featured on Cold Case Files last year.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Those Average Joe's Strike Back is just a bunch of Elliot Rodger videos.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But, like, the Average Joe Hawaii has an amazing little detail here. So that the beauty queen, you know, like the one who had to choose, chose the attractive Gil Hyatt over Average Joe Brian Worth. A few days later, on a honeymoon between the two, she revealed she had once dated Fabio, which caused the handsome guy to leave her in disgust.
I just read that.
The
idea of dating Fabio is a deal breaker for somebody. It's like, you dated Fabio?
Like, what if, like, okay, you know, like, I guess. I thought it would at least make sense. It would at least make sense if it was like the nerdy guy that left her in disgust. Cause it's like, oh, you do just like jocks or what, you know, but like, this is like, he's already like the handsome guy. Like, so what's your problem, man?
I also like that they give them the title. Like, this is Average Joe Brian.
Yeah.
It's like, what? This is handsome guy Gil.
But, I mean, there was just this like strain of like diseased, you know, like dating related show where like they had like the pickup artist show, which is like a nightmare where it was teaching all the guys to be like dirtbags.
Oh yeah.
And
stuff. Well, there was like Keys to the VIP too. Like, that one was so bad.
Oh, and this sucks too. The 3rd season, this Adam Return season, they switch it up, which I think doesn't really work that well when it's this. So it's Adam comes back and then it's 19 female average contestants, which at this point you've just, because it's an average guy from the 1st season and then a busload of average women, this is just regular dating. This is just most of
America. Yeah, that's Tinder. That's just Tinder.
Yeah, and then they brought
in
babes.
But they did bring in a busload of babes. It's described as a busload of babes.
Yeah, and then but then he ditched them because he had to, because he has no choice. Like, he can't just be like, I like the babes. Like, no, if you're going to be this guy, you have to say no to the babes. Maybe you can get the producers to give you the babes numbers for off air, but on air, you can't be exposed as the guy who's like, actually, I just wanted the babe. Yeah, that's fine. Get rid of these.
Yeah, the you know, they all rolled up to a swimming pool. Adam raised his flip top sunglasses and was like, "Whoa!"
According to Wikipedia, I don't know what the citation here is. Adam launched the "You Only Live Once" YOLO clothing line on March 20th, 2004. So this guy was way in early on the whole YOLO thing, which was at least 5 years later that became like a thing.
That was way later. Yeah. That was a Drake thing.
Yeah.
He should have sued Drake. Kendrick, he probably has a trademark. Drake.
Yeah.
Maybe he did, and it got settled. Maybe he's rich.
I mean, it says, just as a sentence in his Wikipedia, it's a segment of his Wikipedia, which is not too long, obviously, but it says YOLO is the header, like where it would normally say controversies or personal life or whatever. Mesh helped popularize the acronym YOLO, so I learned something today.
Yeah. That motherfucker miss, man.
One final thing on Average Joe, which is not our story, but here we are. Then we should definitely move on. This is going to be one of the longest episodes we've ever done.
No, we're doing fine. We're not that bad.
All right. Average Joe, The Joes Strike Back. The fourth season entitled Average Joe, The Joes Strike Back started airing on June 28th, 2005. The name references The Empire Strikes Back. No, it doesn't.
I mean, I guess in the sense that it's the same words.
It's just, yeah, it's something strikes back. Like,
also, that means the Average Joes are bad guys? Like, that doesn't, like, what are we, come on.
They're the bad guys. They're getting revenge on the babes.
Yeah, here too. A role reversal version of the show with a series of ordinary women who are to compete for the love of a very handsome man to be entitled Plain Jane was announced as being in the works, but such a show never materialized. Huh. I wonder why that didn't materialize.
They asked one woman. They finally had one woman weigh in on it, like in the production process. And like, what? And they're like, okay, you're right. We'll stop. We're gonna stop.
Yeah, they were like, yeah. Everybody kept crying when we were filming, so we dumped it. Dump it. All right. Well, that's our new story.
It. The raccoon. Number two. The guy scared the raccoon.
Good luck to the White House raccoon. Number two. This comes to us from somebody. Oh, no, it comes from me. That's why I got so confused. This is a story that I really enjoy. This is from Outside Magazine. I sometimes get excited. I think the Average Joe riff went so deep into derailing the podcast that I used the tab that I had this story open in to look up more Average Joe stuff. And now I have to go find it again.
We forgot what the podcast was even about.
It's now an Average
This is Joe. An Average Joe podcast. That's what it is. This is an Average Joe's watch podcast.
Man, right, Average Joe is an insane... I'm going to be thinking about Average Joe for a while. That's an insane thing.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. And actually, speaking of Average Joe's, have you guys seen this movie Dodgeball?
I just got it up here.
Crazy good. Is it on DVD? I mean, I got it on VHS, but it is on DVD, and crazy.
It's Ben Stiller playing a not as good version of his Tony Perkis character from Heavyweights.
Yes, exactly. He's playing very similar to that.
But it's like, what if Tony Perkis was a moron? It's not as good.
It's just what I think is kind of cool about it is like a lot of people don't think of dodgeball as like, you know, a classic sport. But the way the movie portrays it, it's kind of like there's like a dodgeball.
I do have the story open, I should say.
And sorry, I won't take up any more of your time, but if you've never seen it, it's just fun. It's just a fun film, you know?
Rip Torn's in it.
Yeah, Rip Torn is in it. And I believe, as I've, you know, obviously still alive, he's doing great. And I'm glad about that. And anyway, this is you want to do number two, Eli?
No, I was giving you the like smoke the whole pack treatment. Like, all right, well, let's see how far this tangent goes.
Yeah, it is a bit of a bold strategy. We'll see how it pays off.
Is that from a movie? That sounds familiar.
Was the Rip Torn thing a bit, John? I can't tell. Because he did pass away last year.
Yeah, that was a bit. Okay, it was the idea that in Canada we didn't get the news that he died.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
It's all good. You know, it's totally fine.
Canada doesn't have their own newspapers. They get just weathered versions of ours.
Correct.
Years later.
Yeah. So we're pretty close to Seattle. So by the time the Seattle Times gets up here, we're like, whoa, that's what's happening in America.
You have to wait for a northern wind to blow and 100% pick up different sheets that happen to
exactly find the street. It's like when you're a kid and you'd find Playboys in the forest. It's kind of a similar thing. It's just we just wait for the newspapers to blow up here. And I don't know. I think Hillary's going to win.
Well, it seems nothing else could happen. All the polls. All right, before I make myself too upset and sad, this is a very fun story. This is from Outside Magazine, and it is about, the title is "These Bears Have a Job, and It's Destroying Coolers." And it's...
I like it already.
Yeah. So this is a story about a place called the Wolf Discovery Center, the Grizzly and Wolf Discovery Center. They are the bears that when you try to buy a cooler or whatever, and it says, like, it's a bear-proof cooler... These are the bears that it's proof. They test, their job is to fuck up coolers all day long. I've never been more jealous of an animal in my life. So yeah, it's pretty much what you'd expect is that, like, there's a bunch of bears. For also, congratulations to 747 for winning Fat Bear Week. We stand 747 the Fat Bear.
Yeah.
Congratulations. yeah. So it's pretty much what you expect. It's just like they have all these bears that I guess are like, I don't know if they handpick them to be like craftier than other bears, but they do that. And then there's a picture here. They just have some grizzlies in an enclosure, and then they put some food in a cooler and toss it in and see if they can crack it open or not. They give them an hour. So they take a cooler, they throw it in, they start a timer, and if the bear can't get it open in an hour... They're all good. They're bear-proof.
He's fired.
He's fired. They throw him back.
Reminds me of back when I was a kid, when I was 6 years old, and I lived in a compound for a year testing pill bottles.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, hey, see if this guy can get it open. And I'm like, childproof, it is. Fucking confused as hell.
I also like the imagining them firing a bear from captivity. Like, you're out of here. And the bear's like... Great.
You're not even trying to get this cooler open, Greg.
Well, yeah. So, and it's also cool because apparently the pass rate or whatever, like, is like 50%, which is like these bears are really good at fucking up these coolers. Like half, it's a coin flip whether they can get it open or not. After every test, they examine the container and fill out a report, sends the analysis back to the manufacturers, which can also opt for a videotape of the bear's rigorous testing process. I'm asking for a videotape 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, I was going to say, you always cannot.
Just you send cannot the video. The tape. Don't make me ask for it. I want to see the video every time. Where are the videos in this story? I want to watch those videos myself.
It's like getting a tape of a stand-up set. It's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be $40. It's like, oh, come on, man. Just give me the tape.
It's way better than a tape of a stand-up set. If I asked someone and someone's like, hey, man, I'm sorry, the camera didn't work, but I do have this an hour of a bear trying to get a cooler open, I'd be like, that's all right. That's fine. I'm not
I've heard these bears also test picnic baskets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to make sure they're very few bear-proof picnic baskets. Just a super tactical picnic basket.
I mean, that definitely exists for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Just some like, I'm Reg Smith. Formerly of the Marine Corps. Are you fucking tired of your picnic basket being broken into by bears? Try this.
I was dishonorably discharged from the Marines, and my main hobby is picnics, and I finally brought those things together.
Yeah, exactly. Do you like a picnic with your hot wife? Are you tired of grizzly bears stealing your picnic basket and breaking into it?
This is my wife. She's nervous around me. Here's my picnic basket.
We call this the tactical basket. It's bear-proof. It's wolf-proof. It's everything-proof. Enjoy your grapes in peace.
Welcome
to my Kickstarter. If you open the lid without flipping this switch, a gun will go off.
Just somewhere in the world, a gun will go off.
From nowhere. Into your face.
Yeah. It's filled with buckshot. It weighs 88 pounds and can just be used to club someone to death.
Are you tired of not being at the top of the food chain anymore? Well, buy this picnic basket and shoot a fucking bear in the face.
Apex Predator picnic basket. If we reach our stretch goal, I'll add more knives to the outside. It'll be the whole thing will be sharp. Yeah. That's very soothing, actually.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that little saw.
Less so.
That's a little bit more Marine Corps right there, the jackhammer. Just
yeah.
Reg, I told you. How many times do I have to tell you the picnic basket stuff you got to do during the day? This jackhammering at night keeping me up.
It's just one of those guys who sets, like, he posts on Instagram that he has, like, alarms set at 4:05, 4:08, 4:10 a.m. Like, just, you know, like,
yeah.
Time to kick today's ass.
He weighs one of those watches that looks like a fucking, like, gyroscope.
Yes. Like, oh, yeah. His watch weighs 7 pounds.
Yeah. It has a full
rise and grind, bitch.
It has the entire text of the Farmer's Almanac in the watch that you can read at any time. Predict the tides. Anyway, yeah. So this has been a very focused cast episode today.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
it's just been a jumping off point to go, no, it's been fun. But yeah, so these bears, I would like to see the video. If anybody is in touch with anyone at the Grizzly and Wolf, what's it called? The Grizzly and Wolf Discovery Center, if we could get some of those videos, that would be very much appreciated, because I'd like to see them try.
Is such a funny, like, euphemistic title as well. Like, it's the Grizzly and Wolf Discovery Center. Like, it sounds like it would be an animal shelter type situation.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, we've got these, we bring in injured bears and we nurse them back to health and then we help them discover a new life. And it's like, nah, we just we throw fucking coolers in the cage and see if the bears can rip them open. That's about it. That's kind of the discovery part of it anyway.
Yeah, discover they can get them coolers open. But yeah. That's also, it is funny because in a way they are like, we take bears without direction and we give them purpose by testing coolers.
Yeah, it's bears who failed out of math 10. Yeah.
It's also funny to call it Discovery Center because for me, I always think of Discovery Center as like, there's a place called the Discovery Center where you, like, go to, like, play with Gak and shit as a kid. So it sort of sounds like it's one of those, but there are also grizzly bears and wolves in there, which seems dangerous.
They can't let the videos get out because on the off chance that bears see them, and then it destroys all their research because the bears obviously will learn from the videos.
Yeah, these guys are pros at getting open a cooler. Can you imagine if one of them got out? No cooler would be safe.
You better not camp with a non-bear proof cooler or you're fucked. But styrofoam cooler, oh buddy, come on.
Yeah, well,
not here.
If they believe in the idea of the collective unconscious, they're already playing with fire, you know, because once there's studies of someone doing a crossword affects people throughout the world, these bears might be learning through quantum space. So there's that. I think that's a good place to end it.
I was like, I don't think I'm going to turn this into a quantum
and
physics.
This week's number one reason to say, what a time to be alive.
Oh, number one. This is just a lovely classic, why did you do this sort of thing. So there is something called the cellmate, which I'm looking at a picture of right now. And what the cellmate is a chastity sex toy. Some would refer to it as a dick cage. That's basically what it is. It takes your wiener and it encases it and locks it in a little tube where you can't touch it and play with it or do anything. Yeah. And
sort of like the opposite of this song, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what the official song of chastity is, but
it's like "May the Circle Be Unbroken" or something.
Yeah. So this is that, you know, it's a little, put it on there if that's what you're into, not being able to touch your little wiener. But the problem with this one is that they decided to make it a smart dick cage. It's a connected to the internet dick cage, which is already, I don't really know why you want that. I guess if you want, like, your partner to be able to, like, lock your dick down from the office or whatever for a little, play. But
yeah, I think this is like not so much a chastity thing as a like S&M type thing. Is that
yeah? Right? It's not designed to actually keep you chaste. It's not being applied to princesses or princes or whatever to keep them from fucking before their marriage is arranged. It's like it's like an S&M control thing. But the big air problem here is that it is connected to the internet and also has a security flaw that would let people lock your dick up for the rest of your life until you broke it off. It works by allowing a trusted partner to remotely lock and unlock the chamber over Bluetooth. That app communicates with the lock using an API, but that API was left open and without a password.
Well,
allowing anyone to take complete control of any user's device. And they say, because the bigger thing about this too is, why did you make it so difficult to unlock? Like, it's an S&M thing. The person is consenting to do this. Like, you don't need it to actually be like a fucking bike lock, but because the chamber was designed to lock with a metal ring underneath the user's penis, the researchers said it may require the intervention of a heavy-duty bolt cutter or an angle grinder.
Oh my god.
So this it's music what you is, want down there.
This music is really grinder. Distracting me from the story. I want to bury white. Baby, gonna lock your dick up.
What's the
on a Bluetooth?
What's the ability to pee situation there's when you're locked hole. Up in this thing?
There's a hole. That's always good.
There's a little slip.
Yeah, I just piss out of the hole in my dick cage. It's no problem. Yeah.
Pissing, that famously precise activity.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds like a nightmare. Jesus.
I'll probably pee and get electric shocked, or, you know, somebody will in a van outside will lock my dick cage up.
Lock my dick up.
What? Like, this is actually kind of like we were just talking about, like, the tactical picnic baskets where it's like these, you know, these, like, tech people or whatever. Why would you make this so insanely secure and so strong and, like, hard to take off? It's a fucking sex toy, dude. Like, it can be plastic. It doesn't really matter. But they made this shit out of, like, you know, fucking forged aluminum or whatever, and now, like, you need an angle grinder to get it off.
You don't know what people are into, Eli. You know, you just gotta let them be. It's perfect for the tech bro who also wants to be dominated.
Yeah.
Are you tired of your plastic cage? Are you tired of your plastic dick cage? Let me show you something here. It's the Dick Cage 3000. Yeah, exactly. I'm Reg Smith. You might know me from the Tactical Picnic Basket. Introducing
your marine penis shatter dick cages. Shatter plastic dick cages. We have the thing for you.
The Marine Dick Discovery Center. Just retired Marines with PTSD getting work. They're getting
marine
out there.
Dick
they're getting
work. DiscoveryCenter.com. Check it out.
Exactly.
It'll be our new Patreon.
Do you have a giant marine dick? Are you out of work? Come to the Marines Dick Cage dick Discovery Center.
We'll see if you can fuck coolers.
Yeah, we'll lock up that hog and see if you can break that cage.
Yeah, we throw a cooler into a pen of horny Marines and see if they can get in there.
Yeah, and then they advertise that to regular people. It's like, are you tired of your plastic dick cages always breaking? Buy the only dick cage tested on U.S. Marines.
Yeah, and this is another thing. I'm reading more into this thing. Not only is there this glaring security flaw, and it's like, they knew about it, too. They were like, they have an email about it, like, we're a basement team. When we fix it, it creates more problems. I don't know what the problems it creates are, but it probably can't be as bad as getting your dick hacked, which is what this lets you have. And so there's a lot of reviews that not only is there this glaring security flaw, apparently the app just kind of sucks and doesn't work. And so someone else says one user, the app stopped working completely after 3 days and I am stuck.
Oh, so, fuck.
Not good.
Not good at all. I mean, not good at all, guys.
Somebody else said, got stuck twice when wearing it due to the unreliable app. So, yeah.
See, this is what you got. What you do is you hook up some of these people with some of those bears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go.
Cooler busting powers.
Throw them into the pit at the Bear and Wolf Discovery Center. get them in a full body suit, but have the dick exposed. And let the bears work their magic.
Squeeze a bunch of honey into the pee hole and toss them in the Grizzly and Wolf Discovery Center and let them try to get that open.
That's beautiful. I love it. Like, I mean, it is just
coming back out to just a completely, just a pile of viscera and then an untouched dick cage. You're like, well, that did not work. We'll cross that one off the list. Oh, and also thank you to Iguana Helium Cube, the Triumph Return. For the belt story, and also to Boosie for the raccoons, if you didn't say that. But Yeah, I would personally not recommend this.
I would stay away from the chastity, the Bluetooth-enabled, location-based chastity device.
That song got me wild, and I loved every part of that.
Yeah, we really, that was
great.
It feels empty now without it.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It really got me into the mindset to talk about other people's dicks getting locked in a Bluetooth-enabled cage.
It's just, this thing is like, of everything I read is like, forget the security flaw. This thing is just like very dangerous. Somebody else
just said, get work, like work, a it worked for just about get a, one with a key.
Yeah,
and just the person can have the key and
do it.
You know.
Get the one from fucking Robin Hood Men in Tights. Get the old school big ass, you know, lock and key. Yeah, somebody else says, I worked for about a month until I almost got stuck in it. Thankfully, it unlocked itself randomly and I was able to get out of it. It left a bad scar that took nearly a month of recovery.
Oh.
Jesus. It's just like, all right, where are you buying? Like,
but you have to assume, like, right? Like, if a company has made a Bluetooth-enabled penis cage, I think it's a fair assumption to be like, the app probably doesn't work great for this. It's probably not the best. You know, we're not getting Uber's like programmers are not on this thing. We're not getting. You know, you're not getting the top. You're not getting the top level of tech. Here,
no free lunches at the Dick Cage Factory.
No, definitely not.
No catered lunches over there. I'm trying to look up the site where you buy it to see like how
it's got to be so expensive even, too, right?
Oh, and that's a dunk. There's Cellmate Chastity Cage Short Model.
Oh no,
that's mean.
Although, if you're into it, though, like maybe that's part of your thing, though, too.
Oh yeah,
like
it's
I have
the same
a tiny
as the regular
dick,
one, and it just says that, and that's like your it helps you out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's $189 fucking dollars.
That's actually cheaper than I thought. I'll be honest.
Really?
In my mind, I thought it would be more expensive than that.
Yeah. Plus, you can fold the price into the sub aspect of it too, I guess, right? Like, I can't believe I spent all this money on this thing, and also, you know,
yeah,
and
I'm
you
such an
really,
idiot.
Yeah.
I'm such a fucking loser. Yeah. I'm a tiny dicked loser who spent $200 on this dick cage.
We'll just clip that. We'll clip that. I'm a tiny dicked loser.
That's fine.
And I can clip me saying it, so that's great.
I didn't say it. I'm safe. They also advertise their discreet packaging, but again, maybe that's something that you don't want. Maybe you'd be like, could you make it extremely, extremely crete packaging? Just a very
crete.
Yeah.
Comes from Greece.
Yeah. It's where the Minotaur was.
Exactly.
It was the labyrinth there.
Yeah. Well, this is a bit of a labyrinth in itself. It's a little dick labyrinth that, you know, you're trying to navigate. This is a full on S&M site. This is, their tagline is Love Hurts. Yikes. Mm. I mean, if you're into it.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. But it's like, I I'm not kink-shaming anyone, and I never would, but I just, I have a, I'll be honest, ladies, if you're listening, I have a cage-free penis. It's free range. I'm only fed organic, and I have a girlfriend.
Oh,
so
is that Seinfeld? You know, get that thing in there again. Yeah, it's waterproof, so you could take a bath with it.
You'd probably want to with all the piss that's most likely stuck in there.
Yeah, it's not going to be lined up perfectly, right?
No,
so you're going to get some in there.
Oh, no question, right? Like, you definitely
Everybody's
have to stand over
lean.
The toilet and, like, kind of shake all the piss drops out of the hole, right?
Yeah, you just sit. It's kind of like a colander. It's like
yes, exactly.
Colander.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And when you shake off the lettuce in the colander, the lettuce is still wet. So keep that in mind.
I guess either you sit down to pee with this thing on, or I guess you're standing. You kind of straddle the toilet and just kind of let it hang.
Yeah,
you're not going to use the fucking urinal. That's for sure. I mean,
you
maybe
just look
you are
over,
if you want people to see. Just like, hey, man.
What's going on? What's that rig you got going on down there?
Exactly. Out of the corner of your eye, you're like, holy shit.
I mean, if I saw this before I was like, that guy's a chastity S&M person, I would be like, that guy has a robot dick.
Yeah, that's definitely what I would think too.
Just be like, whoa. I really would be like, what's the deal with that rig, man? Yeah, it's distance is no longer a factor in key holding. No physical keys are needed to enjoy chastity. Authorize a key holder from any part of the world to gain control over your cage.
There is at least a use case for this, I guess. There is theoretically a market for this that we did not sort of analyze.
I guess someone on a business trip, perhaps.
Yeah, it's the person who met their partner playing World of Warcraft and wants to give them the opportunity to free them from the guild or whatever.
Or these days, you know, during lockdown, people, you know, you have...
am I right?
Yeah, well, there you go. The whole new meaning.
This is an easy joke, but like the World of Warcraft person being like, yeah, I'm going to make it so you can't have sex because of a dick cage. Like, yeah, because of a dick cage. That's what I think. You know what? I just realized I've had a dick cage for a while.
That's the only reason.
The only dick cage I have is forced upon me by my own issues.
By society, and I have an extended manifesto you can read about it that I workshopped on a Reddit with some really cool guys that I found online. So if you're listening to this and you are going, wow, I get why they're making fun of this, but also I would really love to pick one of these things up, I would say maybe find a safer one, but if not, check out the Cellmate Chastity Cage.
There you go.
Short model. Or maybe long model. Good for you.
That should be one of your Patreon goals. If you get to a certain Patreon level, then you will control someone's cage.
We're not even going to float that.
I'm floating it right now. What did you say? 1,200 pages? 1,250 patrons. If you have a penis cage, Eli will personally take control of it on the app.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, if someone had, like, a really high Patreon level, if they were, like for $500 a month, you control the goddamn cage.
Oh, no,
host.
I was saying that you control it for someone else.
I don't want any part of either part of that.
No, you don't have to lock up your penis.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
You don't have to lock up your penis. That's fair.
We don't have time for that.
Well,
speaking of not having time... hey, we should wrap this up. What's John? What
145?
Yeah, what do you got, John? What do you got to plug?
Hey, thank you. Everyone is so tired from the episode. They're like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to hear any more from this guy. I have an album coming out this Friday, October 16th. It's called Long Stories for No Reason. It's a comedy album that's out on Comedy Records. Thank you so much. It'll be on Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, all those great places. And if you're listening now and you have SiriusXM and you just can't handle it and you want to listen to it, you can right now on the SiriusXM On Demand app. You can follow me on Twitter at Cullen the Comic. You can listen to my podcast with Stefan Heck called Blocked Party. Both of you guys have been on the show. So if you're a Wattba listener and you want a launch point, whatever, you can check out those episodes. We did an episode with Kath too. That's at Blocked Party Pod. And then we also talked about new metal a lot. I have a once a month new metal album review podcast called the POD Cast. And you can find that at the POD_cast. And we spell cast with a K, like corn.
Nice. Backwards or regular?
Backwards, obviously.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Very cool.
Patty, you got plugs?
Yeah. Well,
I feel like Kath usually carries the plug part of things.
Well, I can do the podcast plugs, and then neither of us have. Well, you have something to plug.
I do.
So.
Yeah.
Hey, patreon.com/whatatimepod. We got lots of bonus episodes. some really fun ones, especially over the past few months. Some really great guests, including, I believe, John was. Maybe you were in May or
It wasn't too long ago when I was on the show. I appreciate you bringing me back.
Yeah, and. Yeah, so we got some goals coming up. Like I said, bonus episodes, Roadhouse commentary track, live show video.
Dick Cage Control. That's at 12.
That's right.
That's at
1250.
Be in there
now. Nicholas Cage.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, at 3,000 patrons, we will set it up so you can control the Dick Cage for the host of your choice. No, we will not do that.
No, we won't do that.
At 1,100 patrons... Eli is going to do an art show of his
Fantasy his drawings fantasy. From when I was probably 12 to 14 years old.
His
fantasy artwork.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I sure thought it was.
At 1,200 patrons, we are going to do the Death Nut Challenge, which we mentioned before, which is eating a series of increasingly spicy nuts.
The Death Nut Challenge is actually where you get your dick locked in a cage and it's controlled by one of
those. Right. That's right. The dick cage just keeps coming back. Just call back city.
You were truly rollicking over there, like spinning around in your chair, like a happy little mischief gremlin.
Well, when you said the Death Nut Challenge earlier, I was really trying to like think of a tag for it, and I didn't. So I'm just like really happy that I got a second chance and I nailed it. That's really what it's all about. I'm just very proud of myself.
Yeah. Well, you can subscribe to our Patreon. We really appreciate it. It will at no point ever give you control over anyone's dick.
That's
but
right.
We do appreciate it very much.
I want to make that clear. listener support lets us, you know, do the show. So we do appreciate it.
And live.
What?
And live. And pay
and
rent.
And live. So, well, that's
I live
the show is life. Yeah, so that's that. And in 2000, we're going to do the NFL Combine. So once we get closer to that, we will sort of firm that up a little bit more. We got the TeePublic. We got a bunch of cool shirts on there, including a couple new ones: the Yas Bean and the Cthulhu Hole. The latter of which was designed by listener Jackopedia, and they're both based on riffs from when Josh Gondelman was on the show. So check those out. Link in the description. If you like the show, give us a review on iTunes. 5 stars would be great. Or tell your friends, you know, spread the word. Link to the Discord in the description as well. To get into the private channels, you got to subscribe at the $10 level. But otherwise, there's a lot of good folks in there. And, you know, a lot of different channels of stuff to chat about during the day and whenever. What a Time Pod on Twitter. What a Time Pod on Instagram. WhatATimePodcast@gmail.com. I am Patty Mo on all the stuff, and I don't have anything to plug.
Yeah, I'm Elian on Twitter, Chili's Restaurants on Instagram. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/pig_dog. I also do a weekly show where I play D&D with some friends as the cast of different TV shows. We are in the middle of a mini campaign where we're playing the King of the Hill characters in some like classic dungeon crawling. So pretty good. Fought an owlbear with Dale Gribble, Hank Hill, and such. That's every Thursday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/tvndd. And also I have a Substack of cartoons if you would like to subscribe to that. It's at eliuden.substack.com. There are 3 free cartoons every week, but if you subscribe for $5 a month, you will get a cartoon every day in your inbox. That's all my stuff.
So there it is, folks. Thanks again, John, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's just say Dick Cage one more time, mm-hmm. just to get that out of
Dick
the way.
Dick Cage. Locking it up.
And we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.